New Year. So I went online, futuretimeline.net, and they list a couple of events that will supposedly happen during this year. So here are some examples. China will start to build the longest undersea tunnel. Okay, so it's going to be undersea, and it's going to connect China to America. That's very interesting, right? New Year. That's very interesting. They said that from China, it's going to be a train, and from China to America, it's going to take about 2 days. So that's going to be interesting. The project is supposed to be done around 2020, but they're going to start it this year. Another thing that will happen this year is the Olympics, the Summer Games. It will be held in Rio. And another thing, in England, dog owners will have to microchip their animal starting this year, just because there are so many dogs without collars running around the streets, so they will microchip the dogs, and people will have this device that will show them where their dogs are. That's kind of interesting as well. But for America, the most intriguing event in this country will be the outcome of the 58th quadrennial presidential election. It's going to happen in November this year. And prior to their respective debate, the Democrats and the Republicans, late in December, the Democrats' candidates could fit on one motorcycle. Right there. So does the Republicans. As you can see, they are very creative. But Pastor, why are you bringing politics on the pulpit today? Where are you going with all these facts? Well, I'm glad you asked. There have been battles, debates between two candidates for the presidency or for the rulership of this planet. And it has been going on thousands of years now. And I'm going to talk about these two candidates. The first one, you know, the first debate happened in heaven, where a perfect being decided that it wasn't enough to be the anointed cherub. He wanted to be number one. Lucifer wanted to be numero uno. Okay? How about the accent? So like a skilled politician, he deceived one-third of the angels by picturing God as a tyrant, an unfair president. They debated and fought, but Satan and his angels did not prevail. Casted down on earth, Satan now campaigns his politics to the crowns of God's creation, Adam and Eve. And it's unfortunate because as soon as he had the opportunity to lay out his plan, Adam and Eve fell. He laid out his plan by promising that there is a shortcut to pleasure, to power, and to authority. The fruit in the Garden of Eden was pleasing to the eyes. Satan promised a shortcut to pleasure. And he said to Eve that if you take this fruit and eat it, you will be like God, a promise of a shortcut to power and authority. It's the same politics that Satan is practicing today and is actually sharing today. He declares that if we follow his instruction, we will get supremacy, sovereignty, and superiority. And that will come along with pleasure. Actually, he says, there is a shortcut. Just take a sip of this. Just smoke a little bit of that. Just use this needle, and you will feel good. Just cuss a little bit. Just twice a day. One in the morning, after meal, and one in the evening, before meal. And I promise you that you will have more friends than you've ever had before. Just accept that proposition from your boyfriend or girlfriend. You don't have to wait after the wedding. I promise you are going to feel good. But everyone who has listened to Satan soon discovered that everything he said were lies. But enough talking about this candidate. I don't want to talk much about this one because I'd like to put an emphasis to the other candidate. The book of Matthew described him as a king. And I invite you today to go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. All right, if you're there, say amen. I'm reading in Jesus' name. The genealogy of who? Jesus Christ, the son of who? The son of David. Now every Jew would know that David is one of the most prominent kings of the Jewish history. David is associated with the word king. So Jesus Christ, the other candidate, is described as a king. Someone who has a kingdom. So with the first three chapters of Matthew, the author details the first years of his life until his baptism. And in chapter 4, Matthew records another debate between Satan and Jesus. You know well the story. Jesus was baptized, and then the Spirit led him to where? To the wilderness. And there he prayed and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And Satan saw that his sole contender was weak after several days of fasting and praying. But guess who won that debate? Who won that debate? In Matthew chapter 4, verse 10 and verse 11, Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil did what? The devil left him. And behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Jesus won that debate. The first debate in heaven, who won? Jesus won the first debate. The second debate here on earth, Jesus won the debate. Is there some more in the Bible? Is there some more recorded in the Bible? So Jesus started to lay out his plan for his presidential term by saying that everyone should repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here is a king. He was on earth. And he has his kingdom, but it's not an earthly kingdom. He said the kingdom of earth, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So you should repent. But he goes to lay out his plan for some more details. And he said, "I promise free health care." So everybody goes like, okay. Did we have a president? Oh, no. He promises a free health care. He says, there's not going to be any sickness in my kingdom. But how are you going to do it? So here on earth, as he was walking here on earth, as he was campaigning for this kingdom, he started to heal. So free health care for who? And how are you going to do that? So in verse 23 of chapter 4, it says, "And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom." Here is the word kingdom again. "And healing every disease." Chapter 4, verse 23. "And healing every disease and every affliction among the people." With his hands, he's providing free health care. That's this candidate is one of a kind. He's different from every other candidate we've ever seen before. What else? What else? He says, "I'm going to provide unlimited food stamps for everyone." It's going to be free food. Free food. You're going to pick what you need and you eat it. That's what he promises in his kingdom. That's his proposal. If you vote for me, free health care. If you vote for me, free food. Okay. What about the clothes? Oh, clothes are going to be free. Okay, it's going to be free. Matthew 6:25, "Therefore I tell you," 6:25, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on," your clothes and your food. It's going to be free. His eye is on the sparrow. His eye is on you as well. So he says, free health care, free food, free clothes. This candidate is one of a kind. He demonstrated through his life here on earth that he can do all this and that he will keep these promises. He touched the eyes of the blind and they were opened. He touched the ears of the deaf and they were unstopped. He broke the bread and thousands were fed. This candidate can do it. What about the housing? Mortgage? What about the housing? Okay, John takes over and wrote in John chapter 14, verse 1 until the verse 3. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Or should I say, vote for God and vote also for me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." And the word rooms and the place that is used in this text just mean home, a place to dwell, a place that will become yours for those who are voting for this candidate. Free housing. Forget the mortgage. If you vote for him, if you're gonna be in his kingdom, free health care, free food, free clothes, free housing. That's a very good propaganda. That's a very good candidate right here. But wait a minute, this sounds too good to be true, isn't it? Everything is free, healthcare, food, housing, clothes. But he said, no, wait. It's actually even better. That's what he says, because then he mentioned in the letters to the Corinthians, "I has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." So are you saying it's going to be even better? Like free healthcare, free food, free clothes, free housing? Is there something better than that? Oh yeah, it's going to be better. "No eye has seen, nor he heard, the things which God has prepared for those who love him." But are you going to provide all these things in a 4-year term? Then he answers, actually, I'm going to give a chance for everybody to vote for me. I'm not going to force anyone. I'm coming again. And we will live in heaven just for, you know, for 1,000 years. So it's not a 4-year term. You know, we're just going to go to heaven for 1,000 years. And then we will come back down and here, here in a new earth forever. Wait a minute. Is he saying, are you for real, Jesus? Is he saying that all these things, these benefits, are not only for a 4-year terms, not only for 1,000 years, but forever? Amen. Forever? You mean your proposal is not only against ISIS, is not only against this kind of terrorism? You mean your proposal, is it a perfect world? And not only for a 4-year terms or an 8-year terms or 2 terms or 4 years? Is it, oh God, your proposal is for eternity. For eternity. And Jesus said, yes, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. And he demonstrated it when he was here. And you can read and reread the stories, but he healed the sick. He forgave sins. And he just blessed everybody who was in contact with him, from young to old, from male to female, and from children, even children. Not only am I going to make all these benefits available, he says, but you know what? I am even ready to die for you. To die for you. Wow, what kind of president, what kind of candidate is this? Can one of these candidates say that? I will die for America? I've never heard that from the candidates, by the way. They have some good proposals. I admit that. But this candidate that is described here in the Bible, Jesus Christ, was willing to die for you, for me. And this was and still is the climax of his campaign. He died so that we can have life, the opportunity to live in a perfect world, free healthcare, free food, free clothes, free housing, forget the mortgage, forget the insurance. He is our assurance. But when he was here, and he was ready to lay down his life for us, as he was on that cross, Satan thought that because he is at this feeble, you know, he was so feeble and so weak, Satan thought that the election would go a lot easier. So he tried to do everything to be sure that Jesus will stay dead. But after 2 nights, the tomb could not hold Jesus Christ. Death could not hold this candidate. He overcame death. And he woke up on a Sunday morning with glory. And just with his resurrection, he put down Satan, his enemy, his contender, because he has overcome death. So this candidate is really powerful. He can heal. He can give you food. He can give you housing. He can give you clothes. But he can even defeat what is considered as humanity's strongest enemy, death. This candidate is one of a kind. He even says he is the resurrection and the life. And because he overcame even death, he could say in Matthew 28, verse 18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." He's got the power. He's got the power. He's got the authority. Because he overcame death, he is the only one who can stand tall and say, "I have all authority in heaven and on earth." The first candidate that we saw today uses deception, lie, trickery, and promises a shortcut to pleasure and authority. But I'm standing here today with all my faults and shortcomings as a spokesperson for Jesus Christ. He has all authority. He is trustworthy. He is faithful. He is graceful. He is truthful. He is life. Jesus Christ is life. A new year has begun. And it demands a new commitment to the one who loves and who will reign, who loves us and who will reign for eternity. I know the choice is hard. On the other side, we have a candidate who will deceive you, who is also called in the Bible as the king of destruction, the liar, the father of lie. On the other side, we have this candidate who is just promising that you will get free healthcare, free food, free housing, with all these benefits for eternity. I know the decision is very hard. I know it is. Am I going to take this, make this choice where I can feel good and look good with this shortcut to pleasure? Or am I going to invest for eternity with this Savior who laid down his life for me? Brothers and sisters of mine, I'm standing here today to ask you to vote today, even right now. I mean, probably you will vote in November. But I want you to vote today for a king, a president, a king, a ruler who was willing to lay down his life for you and who is offering you this chance to live in a perfect world. And he's shown that it's possible and he's going to do it. He said that he never stopped doing something until he finishes it. So he started this plan of salvation. And believe me, or believe his words, that he's going to finish it. He's going to finish it. He's not going to stop until we will be with him. But what's our part, Pastor? What should we do? As I've mentioned, vote today. Cast your vote. Choose Christ and make the right choice. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says, behold, I'm standing at the door and knock. He's talking to you personally. But yes, he's also talking to us as a church, because he desperately wants us to be with him. He desperately wants us to be back again with him. This relationship that we had before sin came, he wants this relationship back. So vote today. Vote today. Vote today. To vote, you don't actually have to be 18 and plus. To vote today, you don't have to have your license, your driving license. To vote today, you don't have to have gray hair. To vote today, you don't have to be a certain gender. To vote today, you don't have to be a certain age. To vote today, you can do it. You can say yes to Jesus. Amen. Brothers and sisters of mine, He is the King of Kings, the ruler of this universe. He has all authority, and He wants you to be with Him. But lastly, is there anything we should do? What's going to happen if we accept, if we vote for this candidate? What's going to happen in that kingdom? Are we still going to be the same and do all this and that? Actually, He said, if you love me, if you vote for me, you will obey my commandments. And you know, it's not based on that, it's not based on our work, of course, but it's based on that love, that relationship. As you choose today to vote for Him, He's going to walk with you, and your His will be your will. He's going to teach you. He's going to walk with you. That's really powerful. I love that, guys. I love that. Vote today, for He will be with you. He will help you to walk the right way, because He is just, because He is loving, because He is faithful. But the verse doesn't end there in 28. 28 verse 18 says, all authority has been given unto me on earth and in heaven. But then there is something there. The next verse, you know this verse. Verse 19, Go ye therefore, and make disciples. Make disciples, teaching and baptizing. So actually, we don't have to stop with voting and walking the right way. Actually, we are asked to share about this kingdom, to share this kingdom to other people. Your friends in school, your friends at work, your friends, you have to share this. This is good news. When was the last time we had a candidate who have this much benefit for this long that he is offering, to us for free? So you gotta share this. He said, okay, vote for me. I got all authority. Vote for me. But share this. Share this. And we will have, I believe, Pastor Neri and myself will have many projects this year to have an opportunity to share for us as a church to have an opportunity to share Jesus. And please join us. Let's do this. Vote today and let's work together. Let's make disciples. Let's share the good news. That's His plan. That's His proposals. Vote and then let's work. Vote, let's work. But are we going to be alone? Are we going to be alone? We know that you have all authority, Jesus. We know that you are so powerful. But are we going to be alone if you're going to share you? And then He ends the chapter. He ends the chapter with a promise that is very, very important. He said, I will be with you until the end of time. You're not going to be alone. I'm not going to be alone. She's not going to be alone. He's not going to be alone. Because Jesus will be with us until the end of time. And the end of time that is described here, of course, is telling about when he is coming again, but at the same time, there is an idea here of eternity, which means his presence will be always forever with us. And if you understand the Bible, presence of God means a lot. From the Old Testament, his presence was so precious that when his presence was not with the Israelites, they always lost. But when his presence was with the Israelites, everything was okay. In the New Testament, the same happened to the disciples that they discovered was when they went alone, they weren't as successful as when they were with Jesus. Presence of God means a lot. So today, I'm going to make a call. Vote today. Vote for Jesus. I should have had, a banner saying, hey, vote for Jesus, like one of those, presidential campaign and all that. But vote for Jesus today. Today's the day. Today's the day to vote for Jesus. And then, let's work together. Receive that help that he offers to you, that he will help you to go according to his will. And then let's work together. Let's make a difference as Paradise Church. Let's make a difference in Las Vegas. Let's make a difference. Those are my two calls. First one, vote for Jesus. Second one, let's work together. And then if you say, Pastor, but we need a project. Okay, it's going to come. The project is going to come. But be ready. Let's work together. Let's finish this work together, because it will hasten his coming and we will all be caught up and we'll be with him forever and ever. He will never, ever leave you. From now on, until his second coming, until we go to heaven for 1,000 years, coming back down forever and ever, you will be with this candidate. You will be with this king, because he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the ruler of this universe. He is the candidate that you should vote for today, that you should commit to work with today. Amen.